Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So what do you think, Ron James, about theories of the collective unconscious, that we self-generate this cultural image of what the UFOs are, and that's what we see, and when that culture changes, they will, or it will change?
Well, you certainly see an evolution of the UFO experience through time and culture. The presence of unexplained craft goes all the way back to the most ancient of storytelling. So perceiving what they are, why they're there, kind of does go with the culture of the day.
Right, but really, you see, when we raise this here, it's like you were saying, the consistency or lack of consistency of UFOs. There are so many different types of craft, absent the normal differences in perceptions, by people seeing things without prior warning. What are we seeing here? If it's really spaceships, wouldn't there be more consistency in the designs? Or is it really all hell breaks loose and E.T. is here in many forms? Many kinds of E.T. are here. And this one brings their Chevy spaceship, and this one brings their VW or their Tesla spaceship.
I think there might be something to the fact that they're to the idea that there's different extraterrestrial species engaging the Earth for different reasons, using different technology. I mean, you start throwing in interdimensionality, start throwing in inner Earth. It could be any of those things. But does that explain the vast differences in descriptions of these things? No.
Well, there's a pretty good reason, though, for why there are those differences. I mean, if we look at for the data from the sightings, for example, only, and this is back in the 50s, and it's not much different today, but under 30%, unknown for Blue Book in 1947 was 26%. And so they threw away a lot of cases. So what there is a lot of noise, but if you want to sift through all the noise, you can find a lot more differences. But once you start looking at the ones that are unknown and really hard to explain, it turns out that there's a lot of commonality. So there, you get the saucers, you get the spheres, and now you get the triangles. The spheres have been the most common out of all of them, believe it or not. And then, of course, you've got the cigar-shaped ones. So there's really only about three or four basic types.
Well, you know, the question that I've asked a lot, especially as intertwined with people from MUFON that I am, is if these are species that are capable of, you know, flying without wings and traversing the atmosphere in ways that defy everything we know about physics and how craft fly, then why do we see them at all? And why do they need lights? It's like, it seems to me that the whole UFO phenomenon, we might have reached a wall where we're not looking in the right place.
That's what I was going to say just at the beginning there, just when Gene was making his point. It was like in the previous segment, you were just getting to that, and we were talking about, well, yeah, okay, if we accept that they're here, which let's say, you know, for the sake of argument that we do, then there is that phenomena that you talk about where, okay, so they're here. Why don't we have more of that scientifically verifiable physical evidence? Why do they make it so that all that we seem to have, or at least the vast majority of it, is that subjective evidence we were talking about earlier, that therefore, just by virtue of it being subjective, it has this plausible deniability that it isn't anything objective and real. It's all in people's minds.
I think that one answer to that might be that as a civilization evolves, the way you interact with them also evolves. So I think that there is probably a group of extraterrestrial species that do their business throughout the universe, and that a planet like this is created and fostered for any variety of reasons, some good, some bad, as far as if you're looking at it from our standpoint. But they've gotten pretty good over time. If you got a primitive species that can light a fire and hunt a buffalo, but they don't have any way to take a picture, then you're going to show them something a lot different than you're going to show the society that's all of a sudden got cell phones everywhere and everything's definitive and they can show it. So there's nothing wrong with lighting up the sky with a battle of spacecraft back in the day when all it could be is a wood carving in a newspaper. And as races and societies evolve, then you kind of have to change the tack of how you interact with them. And I think that we could be seeing that. And there's a lot of people that are saying that disclosure is not going to happen through government. It's not going to happen through any of those kind of things. It's happening right now in individual experiences by a growing number of people. So, in other words, you might see a flying saucer 50 years ago, but the way they might come to you now is in a vision, a dream, or an experience. It's so real you can't deny that you had it. And so, I think that the way they make themselves known could quite possibly be adaptive to what the culture is ready to absorb.
There we are again, though, back with the subjective objective. It's fine for someone to have a vision or a revelation or a dream, but unless it corresponds to something in objective reality, then people, again, they're not going to take it seriously. Most of the contactees that we've heard over the years and even the people that channel, it's all really fairly trite stuff. It's nothing we don't already know. Take better care of the planet.
Right.
Don't build nuclear weapons.
Well, but these are fundamental things that need to be conveyed. So I know it's all the same message, but the reason it's the same message is because the message is the same. You're not going to get any kind of new take. It's like, oh, well, it's okay to have nuclear weapons. Just don't aim them at each other. There's no variation in the theme of what we need to do collectively to get to the next level that ensures our survivability. And so when you hear the same thing from all these people that say they're channeling aliens and they're having these experiences, it makes a lot more sense to me that there would be massive commonality with those things than to try to puzzle out why UFOs are looking different to different people. I think that it's really kind of narrowing down the focus.
Well, right, but the point here is anybody could come up with those same kinds of revelations. What we need is something more like actress Jodie Foster in Contact, where they got a signal and it's got blueprints to a interstellar craft. I mean, that is going to be very significant. If someone could channel that, right, then we can take them seriously. Otherwise, it's like, I can get the same message from Greenpeace.
Well, I'm writing a movie about that, actually. It's pretty funny you should mention it. But that's I actually don't have anything to say because what's happening is we kind of just go around in circles with this whole thing. And the reality that we're experiencing inside this simulation, and I know I'm not getting total agreement that that's what's going on, but if you start looking at the laws of physics, the way the universe works, the way energy works, the way everything that we see as solid matter is already scientifically proven to not be here in the form we're perceiving it, and then you start looking at the algorithms that run the laws of physics and the algorithms that run sacred geometry that actually make the universe work, it's very clear that we're in a simulation, even if it's the nature of it isn't, we're plugged into a machine like in the Matrix. So,
well, hey, yes, it was just a 2006 Isaac Asimov debate was all about this. They had, world-renowned physicists and astronomers and philosophers taking that very seriously, and I do too. It's one of my favorite hypotheses. And if it's true, it could explain a lot.
Got more to come with Ron, Gene, and Randall, and Ron's going to be also on After the PowerCast, so don't miss that. In case you don't know what After the PowerCast is, it's a premium podcast that we offer strictly to subscribers of the PowerCast Plus, along with a version of the show free of the network ads. For more information and quick sign-up, go to thepowercast.plus. We give away a free coupon code for The Phenomenon, the James Fox movie documentary, and 3 hours of extras for 5-year and lifetime subs. That's the Paracast. Dot plus. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
One theory that Randall and I kind of bandy about is that whatever the UFOs are, we're not seeing them as they really are. It's just a presentation for our benefit or to deflect our attention.
quite possible. I mean, we're obviously dealing with superior technology, and if it is truly extraterrestrials, the bulk of the time we're dealing with beings that have a completely different agenda than, you know, their agenda is none of our business. You know, look what happened to Travis Walton. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but not your typical alien abduction scenario. It was like these guys were flying around sampling biology, and he happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. But they weren't the same group of aliens, or at least in the same detachment, as the ones that are out there performing these abductions. It was a completely different group, and they were not ready to deal with him. Do you see things like that that points to different factions doing different things?
Well, that scene, you would have to go bring up Travis Walton, I guess. And, you know, I don't...
Well, I did produce
it. Yeah, I know.
It's a pretty good documentary.
I've seen them and so on, but yeah.
Ron, I wanted to ask you, since we have Travis Walton up here, and he's been on the Paracast before, seemed like a nice gentleman. Supposedly, for a time, there was some kind of disagreement between him and one of the people who was with him at the point where all this actually began to happen. What is the story about that?
It was mostly over time. You know, none of the guys that were there ever deviated from the story. Now, they had disagreements that came afterwards, really came from the pressure that came with all of a sudden becoming public figures. But there was never a situation where anybody realistically... Philip, what was that guy's name? Philip Glass? The guy that was always... Yeah. You know, he offered, I can't remember the guy's name, but it was Travis, the guy that was with Travis. He offered him $10,000 to recant the story, and he turned it down. And when these guys were being interrogated about possible murder, they never recanted the stories. The lie detector evidence, there's a little bit of controversy there, but for the most part, the lie detector evidence is pretty solid. So even through the personal relationships being frayed to the point where they were pretty rough for a while, even through that, the story's never changed. You never had one of those guys go, you know what, I'm tired of this. This never happened. Travis is full of it. Those guys aren't saying that. And believe me, they've been through it. Mike Rogers, yeah, that's who I'm talking about with Travis. These guys have been through to hell and back with each other. And the one thing that stayed consistent is the story.
Yeah, well, I mean, you would expect that if you wanted to all keep your story straight. And one of the things that investigators out there know from dealing with people who are telling the truth is that their story does tend to change, and there tends to be differences between the people because, like we said earlier, everybody tends to have a little bit different of an experience. When everybody's telling you the same thing, it's actually something to be more suspicious of than...
Well, the main core facts of the story, you have to understand, these guys weren't buddies. Some of them had just met for the very first time going out on these lumber things. It's not like it was a group of people that were going to make that kind of conspiracy and then actually have it hold together through time and bribe offers and the threats of criminal prosecution. These guys were strangers. There's a couple of best friends, but for the most part, especially the guys that were on the fringe of this, there wasn't enough tightness to this group to put this thing together and tell it the way it's told.
We don't really know that for... Well, like, let's just consider, there's a whole bunch of things, okay, but sticking to your story is one thing. I mean, because you have everything to gain by sticking to your story. Being threatened with some kind of, you know, homicide or whatever the case may be and sticking to your story is easy when you know the person is alive because you're going to be proven innocent. So you just stick to your story. When you stand to gain up to $100,000 by submitting the story to the National Enquirer, which is what they were trying to do, you know, the money that's involved, you know, $50,000, that's to recant is half of what you'd get by if you were successful. So there's just a whole bunch of things. The story itself, I don't want to, you know,
I think so.
Denigrate your work, but
Travis, okay, and you know, people could watch the doc and make up their own minds. It's the Travis, the true story of Travis Walton. You could watch it on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I appreciate that you've done the work, and that's I'd like to really keep that separate from, you know, what I think of the veracity of Travis's case. So that's about all I could say there. We did have a question in the forum, though, on that, where one of our participants, Kana Karras, and he kind of says, is there a reason for making a new documentary about Travis Walton? Maybe there is. What's your perspective on it? I don't know.
Well, I mean, we just finished the documentary about Travis Walton a little while back, so I don't think there's a need, but I know that there is a lot of interest, and I probably shouldn't say anything, but there's a lot of interest among some of us for remaking Fire in the Sky. Travis wants to do it. I've got some people in LA working on the rights issues that come with it, and I would not be surprised if Fire in the Sky doesn't get remade.
Now, of course, if we remember here, because of Hollywood requirements, the ending or the final portions of Fire in the Sky were changed from the original account, and therefore, would that be something that you would want to do differently? If you're going to reboot Fire in the Sky, how would you change it?
Well, Travis wants the story told in a different way because he says that it's not really what happened. You know, this whole steampunk aliens and wrapping him in plastic, just stupid stuff. It just wasn't that way. So the reenactment is one of the things that has always been a thorn in his side. I did a version of the reenactment for the documentary. It's not in full in the final one, but if you Google Travis Walton, What Happened to Me, in fact, you can watch it on Amazon. The full-length reenactment that I personally did is in there. We shot it at my studio with green screens. And he says that's closer than the movie. So at the end of the day, if Fire in the Sky ever does get remade, it's going to be because Travis is involved and he's getting the creative control that he wants to make sure that the story represents more of the truth, the visuals, the story of what happened, and then, of course, the aftermath of, you know, years and years and years of what this did to everybody's lives.
Can you get the budget together to do a proper film with the requisite special effects? I mean, it's easier now.
Yeah.
I mean, you can take your desktop computer and do some pretty credible stuff. Even on TV now with the new Superman TV series, those flying scenes are comparable to what they spent $200 million for in the Snyderverse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, doing the Travis Walton remake isn't a $200 million film, but it's probably a $10 to $25 million film. And so, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it might be interesting to make something like that, but for, you know, I'm kind of with Kana Karras on that one.
Well, I mean, the only reason I bring it up is because you asked me about rather there needs to be another Travis doc.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't think Travis wants to do another doc. I think he's pretty much docked out with what we're going to see.
I'm going to ask you about that in the next segment, Ron. Ron James, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Law enforcement in North Carolina joining the call for transparency after a deadly police shooting of a black man, Andrew Brown, shot to death Wednesday in Elizabeth City. Pasquotank County Sheriff Tommy Wooten yesterday asking a court to allow him to release body cam video of the shooting.
Because we want transparency, we want the body camera footage made public. Some people have falsely claimed that my office has the power to do so. That is not true. Only a judge can release the video.
The 42-year-old Brown reportedly shot in the back while fleeing deputies serving an arrest warrant. India now the world's COVID hotspot, and we might not even be getting the whole story. The country reporting 300,000 new cases a day, setting a world record, but the real number could be much higher. A University of Michigan doctor studying India's case numbers tells the New York Times the true number of deaths could be 2 to 5 times higher than the official statistics. This is USA Radio News. A race in Louisiana could be bad news for a New York congresswoman. Democratic State Senator Troy Carter wins a special congressional election Saturday to replace fellow Democrat Cedric Richmond. That win coming despite the fact that Carter's opponent was publicly endorsed by progressives like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Georgia activist Stacey Abrams. The effects of President Biden's immigration policy can be seen on a daily basis at the U.S.-Mexico border. The Heritage Foundation and Customs and Border Patrol officials estimate about 1,000 people cross the border illegally every day. Texas Land Commissioner George P. Bush tells Newsmax TV what he sees.
It is lawless. We're a nation that commands that we have a rule of law and that we respect that. And yet right now, unfortunately, because of the executive actions we've seen, it's led to this insecure situation. That's not good for Texans. It's not good for any border state, let alone folks in other parts of our country, where it will have an impact on y'all as well.
Immigration experts say border officials are so busy processing asylum claims they don't have the resources to catch illegals, and human smugglers know that. This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
This is me, the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
Talk about being docked out. We've had UFO reality shows for year after year. We had the phenomenon, which was a credible documentary. Not a lot of original stuff, because most of us were familiar with it. People who aren't would not have been. I don't think, based on the number of reviews it got, it was a huge success. Probably didn't recover whatever they put into it. The question here is, do people care about that anymore?
The UFO topic?
The UFO documentaries, UFO reality shows. Do we need another UFO reality show?
Well, I don't know about a UFO reality show. They're all kind of hokey. It's like, you know, runner. I was involved in one way back when with Rob Simone and Jennifer Stein and Stanton Friedman. And this producer wanted to film shots of them all cruising around in a motorhome and then recreate some scene in the forest with crazy lights and Stanton Friedman literally running through the woods. It was just like, God, give me a break. And so, you know, do we need more of that? No, because it's all just dumb. it's ghost hunters with UFOs, and ghosts are a lot easier to find. So, we don't need the reality shows, and we definitely need the next version. And, you know, it is the hottest topic in pop culture. The UFO field, the UFO videos, ancient aliens, unidentified, Skinwalker Ranch, these things are History Channel's biggest flagship shows. So, you know, there's definitely an interest in the public. But I was having this discussion not too long ago with a really well-known actor, because we were talking about the quality of UFO productions. And the fact is, there's just never enough money to really do the cool stuff. People want to do these great shows, but they always end up making these films that don't stand up to what Hollywood would do. And then once Hollywood gets involved, then you dilute the message and the facts you're trying to get across. So it's a catch-22 for guys like me and people that are trying to make content they can afford to make at the same time.
I like some of the stuff Bryce Abel did. Like, I just finished watching the Dark Skies series.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, it's dated now. But it was a lot of fun to watch. It was like, it's really like, now you might think of it, you know, as kind of like grade B sci-fi, but it was really, I loved it. I thought it was really great from that perspective because it's, it just ties in the ufology and alien visitation with all of the conspiracies that are out there in a way that, it, you know, just feeds the person who's into that just exactly what they want.
No, it's great. You know, Bryce is a really unique character because he's plugged into the UFO field and he's also plugged into Hollywood. I mean, for a long time, he was the president of the Screen Actors Guild. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's working now on, from what I hear, Bryce, don't get mad at me if I'm wrong, but he's working now on a series surrounding the Betty and Barney Hill story. So that's going to be pretty interesting. I can't wait to see what he comes up with.
Well, if this was the point I was trying to get at earlier, it's like whether the cases are deserving or not was beside the point from the fact that I just find it really interesting that you've been involved and immersed in the field on this cultural side in the media for so long and done so much work in it that you're such an interesting person to talk to from that perspective.
Well, you know, I haven't drank any of the Kool-Aid, and if you were to ask me today, right now, after 20 years of probably putting out more hours of finished ET-related content, especially when you consider conference video stuff that made it to DVDs, I don't think anybody's done more than me, with the exception of maybe Kevin Burns from Ancient Aliens. And at the end of the day, the things that I would actually really be willing to sign off as a journalist are very basic. There's a lot of stuff out there that you just have to keep it in the gray box, and that's just where it has to live.
Absolutely. But, I mean, it must have been just a fascinating life, though, that you've led. How long have you been in it? You know, like 20 years? More than 20 years, right?
Well, you know, it all started when I was in Sedona the last time. I'm back in Sedona right now, but I still have my studios in L.A. Steve Bassett came to Sedona to give a lecture, and, gosh, this is easily 20 years ago. So I interviewed him because I was interviewing anybody who would come through Sedona. And I was always into the UFO topic, but not like hardcore. But, you know, I interviewed him and we became friends, and he hired me to do the X conference live streams and ultimately the citizen hearing on disclosure. But that's how I kind of got into it really deep. And, you know, then I ended up just prowling around the entire field doing the conference videos, interviewing all the people. I put out the disclosure dialogues that won my first EBE awards. I don't even remember what year that was. It was a long time ago. But, yeah, I just started making stuff, and I didn't look for it. It found me. And I think after all these years of tinkering around, I was always able to, because I own a production company, so obviously I wasn't making a living doing this stuff, but I was always able to do whatever I wanted to do, because when I'm doing other things, like in the last few years, I did Guns N' Roses and Smashing Pumpkins music videos. I just directed a VR shoot for Alice in Wonderland in Denver. So I'm always doing production gigs that have helped me pay for everything.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because we've got it on the forum here where we, you know, we introduce you. And what was it like? Were you actually working with the Guns N' Roses people or like in the Smashing Pumpkins or like what's involved in that?
Well, I got hooked up with a company called Rock Fuel, and we did pretty well as far as our working relationship. It was mostly doing concert videos. So when I did Guns N' Roses, we produced a movie called Appetite for Democracy, and we went to the Hard Rock where they were playing, and we filmed all the preliminary stuff, and then we went back with it. The whole thing is in 3D. So we went back with, at the time, it was the largest 3D production, live production ever. It didn't broadcast live, but we had 12 3D cameras. They were all piped into a truck. The truck was able to manage the 3D lenses and the you know, all the stuff that you have to do to the 3D cameras to make them stay true in 3D and not distorting. It was all being run out of the truck. It was fascinating. And I ran the second unit. I did all the band interviews. I did all the preliminary video, all the testing samples and stuff. And then, so yeah, I got to hang out with everybody.
Wow. That is totally awesome.
My favorite thing is during the filming of the thing, I was basically the camera that could go anywhere. So we just finished doing the interviews with DJ Oshba and everybody. I didn't actually get to interview Axel, but that happened again. I wasn't part of that. But I actually went and took the stage, and so I was on for a kid who's got Guns N' Roses pictures on his wall. I was on stage live with Axl Rose during the show. And I was the one walking around the stage shooting him, and it was just it was like being a kid in a dream, mm-hmm. and it was just like, wow, it was so crazy. I've gotten to do a lot of that kind of stuff, and that's exciting. I left Sedona about 10 years ago to go to L.A. and just see if I could make it doing stuff. And I felt like Forrest Gump walked into the stuff, because I really got to live a lot of dreams. And I'm still doing it. You know, I'm still doing that kind of stuff.
Well, that's pretty impressive. And this is what I find really the most interesting, because we're talking about you hear more than necessarily all of the productions and the veracity of all the cases and what you think about it all, just from your own personal perspective as a member of the ufology community and someone who's been immersed in the culture. And I find that part of it at least as valuable as, you know, just talking about the individual sightings themselves. And no matter how you look at Walton, he's probably an interesting character. I know Christopher O'Brien thinks quite a bit of him, and if anybody was to, convince me that maybe he should be taken more seriously, you know, Chris O'Brien is, one of them.
You know, I don't know if you know about Chris and my history, but when I first came to Sedona, it's been 20 years now, I actually hired Chris, and he worked for me for a really long time as my editor, and him and I made the Disclosure Dialogues together. We made Ghost Asylum, one of our ghost DVDs. It was one of the earliest documentaries ever about electronic voice phenomenon. We made Ghost Asylum. We did a lot of stuff together. Chris edited my very first Bigger Questions. And so, you know, we have a very long history.
Yeah, he's a pretty good musician, too. Hey, do you play anything yourself? Are you a musical interest, you know?
During COVID, yeah, I picked the guitar back up, and I've been working on a whole song list. When I was a kid, I thought I was going to be a rock star, so I was a pretty good lyricist. I still am.
We'll talk about that and more of the culture stuff, by the way, on After the Paracast. Ron James, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we've got more to come with Ron James telling us about his great history outside the UFO field. So why stick with it anyway? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's certainly not for the recognition and the money. I'll tell you an interesting story. When I first got into video production, and I did it kind of late, I was a horror writer. For a time, I was the chairman of publicity for the Horror Writers Association. I was working with a guy in Pensacola to do an audiobook about my horror stories. And he got in a big hassle with his partner. And so the studio was called SRS Studios, and it was owned by Joe Scarborough before this guy got it. When I found out what was going on with that, I was in the screen printing business, and I was having so much fun recording the audiobook, and I was also making an instructional video about screen printing with another guy, that I said, you know, I'll buy half the studio, but we have to do video production. And so I jumped right into it, and within the first year, I'd made a bunch of commercials. I'd already started winning awards, and I was out there in Panama City, Florida, for spring break, and it was Girls Gone Wild was there, MTV was there. I was running around helping everybody out. It was pretty cool. Saying, you know, I didn't really get into video production to do that. I don't want to carry Discovery Channel's gear when they come to town. I'm not interested. I found an article by Peter Gersten called The Reality of Our Reality. And you might remember Peter, Citizens Against UFO Secrecy.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was back when Cause was something. So I reached out to him, and I ended up going to the International Conference on Science and Consciousness and interviewing all the great physicists. I interviewed Bill Tiller, I interviewed Amit Goswami, I interviewed Dean Radin, I interviewed John Hagelin, and the list goes on, and that eventually became my first Bigger Questions videos. But I decided at that point that what I consider the three major questions facing humanity, the life after death, the ET, and you know, what is our reality really, that was the kind of stuff I wanted to do. You know, everything I do for money gets rolled back into doing the things that I don't really get paid for. You know, if you look at my Bigger Questions series on YouTube, I never made a dime off that. I just did it. I built giant studios and multi-camera shoots, and I still do it.
I've watched a few of those. They're pretty good. I got to go back and watch some more of them. And this brings me to another question, though. I mean, when we've been in the field for so long, people get saturated with it. And I sometimes feel like I get to the point where I need to tune out of it for a while and to reset myself. Do you ever feel like you're getting maybe a little burnt out with this, or are you still going strong?
I'm so lucky because I'm not like embroiled in it. It's not my life. It's something that I do, but I don't live it, breathe it like a lot of people. It's like if you go to a conference and somebody's speaking, that person is, you know, they've got their books. That's their life. For me, it's always been a part of my life, but it's not my end-all, be-all. It's not how I make my living. I'm not out at conferences trying to, you know, sell a book or push something or complain because somebody else got more face time than me. I don't care about any of that stuff because I don't, you know, I don't have to do this. So I'm kind of unique in that I've always been supported in other ways that have enabled me to do the work that I do, and I've never been attached to the work that I do in that, oh, my gosh, I got to make a show that, you know, gets a million views because I don't care. So I can just kind of do what I want, and I just feel very, very blessed, and whatever kind of purpose the universe has in store for me and whatever part I'm playing in all of this, you know, I'm just doing the work. There's no agenda except just to do cool stuff, have fun, be creative, and try to put out stuff that is true and of a decent quality.
That is a really positive attitude. Thanks for sharing that. What do you like doing, like, just in your spare time then? Do you mind asking? What's your life like?
Well, you know, I bought this place in Sedona, so it's really cool. It's just literally a 4,000 square foot house. I just like to chill out and plant flowers and swim in my pool. I have my jacuzzi, drive my Tesla, you know.
Whoa. You have a Tesla?
I go through both from time to time. I'm playing around with getting my
Which
miles.
Model Tesla?
The Model S.
Did you buy it new?
No, I bought it used. As a matter of fact, I did. This is a funny story. I do a lot of kind of immersive stuff, and I was working with a company called Vortex Immersion Media. We would do Dome productions. Like, I did a bunch for Microsoft, and it's always these weird projects where the company comes to Vortex and says, is there a way to do this? And then we all kind of figure out, well, yeah, we can do that. We projection mapped on domes at the Super Bowl. I did a whole thing with the Travel Channel where this was live at the Super Bowl in Phoenix. People could be in two different places across the park and shoot each other and appear on TV screens against the same background like they were in the same room.
Oh, cool.
It was pretty gimmicky. But Caesar's Palace approached us. Can you build a giant interactive bar? And I'm like, sure, why not? So I spent 6 months trying to figure out how to do it. We hired engineers, software guys, and I ended up selling the project to them, and I made enough money to buy my Tesla, so it was pretty cool.
That is totally cool.
And you know what's funny? I brought the alien invasion of Las Vegas to the Strip. If you go to MUFON's Facebook page and you type in, if you just search videos, you'll see a picture. This was a giant bar. It had 29 different stations, and people could play the same video game at the same time. So one of the video games that I designed was the Alien Invasion of Las Vegas. It started off with a big video plane up above, and then the flying saucers. I hired a guy to go shoot a panoramic picture of the Strip. And so the game was the flying saucers would come down out of the sky, and you had to tap them with your fingers and banish them back to their home world. There's a video of that on MUFON's page.
That sounds awesome.
It's really cool. So I get to do those kind of weird side projects that somehow or another just fall in my lap. Yeah, I don't know how that's happened, honestly. I'm not a software engineer. I'm not a hardware engineer. But we had these parameters. We had to design this bar. The screens had to fit within a certain space. It was right on the Strip in direct sunlight, and it had to be able to withstand the heat. And then we had to do the touch thing. And then we had to figure out how to make the servers, which are going to be 400 feet away, it would send the video. Then somebody touches the screen. It has to send the input from that touch all the way back to the servers, and then the screen has to react. A whole bunch of people were like, yeah, this is really not going to work. And I'm like, at the time, I really needed to make some money, so I wasn't taking no for an answer. And we figured it out, and it got deployed. It was there for a year, but they took it out.
That is absolutely interesting and fascinating. I love all that stuff. I mean, the things you can do with entertainment now is really, really cool. You've probably heard of the band OK Go. They're pretty creative with the videos that they do. And you see something like these drone swarms, what they're doing with those. And
oh, yeah.
It is totally amazing. And even some of the stuff on, you know, America's Got Talent with the backlit screens and the videos and, you know, synchronized with the dancers. Beautifully creative stuff.
It's just really fun. Sometimes I think I'm a jack of all trades and a master at none. It just amazes me some of the stuff that I've stumbled into and got to be a part of.
This kind of brings up I guess I mentioned drone swarms.
We have so much to talk about, Ron, that we're going to have you hang out for our premium show.
I'm going to text you the link right now.
He's going to text us the link, and we'll talk about it more on After the Paracast. Ron James, please tell our listeners if they want to know more about all that stuff you're doing, where do they go?
You can find most of the body of my current work is on MUFONtelevision.com. It's an online pay-per-view subscription-based channel, but I've got my original shows called Space Time. There's free stuff there. If you want to see the report I just did about the Department of Defense materials story, MUFONtelevision.com/Space Time. And it's a really cool report. Plus, for free, you can also see my in-depth interview with James Fox on the same page. That's MUFONtelevision.com/Space Time. And if you like what you see and you want to subscribe to the channel, that's always cool.
He has to pay for that Tesla, the monthly payments, folks.
Yeah.
Forget it if he has to do body work. I'll tell that story on After the Paracast, what I've heard. Anyway, you can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Facebook. Check out theparacast.shop, theparacast.shop for branded merchandise, including throw pillows and T-shirts and a pet bed. Four different logos to choose from, theparacast.shop. We also offer the Paracast Plus, which includes the After the Paracast podcast, where you never know what's going to happen next, and we don't either. We also include a version of the show free of the network ads. And we can do that, by the way, because Ron James helped us intercede with our network at one time. So I have him to thank that we can have After the Paracast.
That's right. I helped you with your contract or something a long time ago.
That you did. Yes, you did. That's the Paracast.plus, the Paracast.plus. We give you also, if you subscribe for 5 years or lifetime, a free coupon code for the phenomenon, James Fox UFO documentary with 3 hours of extra stuff, the Paracast.plus. Ron James, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Gene.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.